Titus chapter 2, verse 15, there's a lot in this verse that needs to be taught in churches. I know it's a very short verse, but we need to consider what the implications of this verse are with regards to the teaching of pastoral authority. Last week, we looked at the nature of pastoral authority. Tonight, we're going to look at the extent of pastoral authority. We'll read the verse again, verse 15 of chapter 2. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So tonight we'll consider the extent of pastoral authority. How broad is this authority? Well, I'm going to start negatively first. Negatively, pastoral authority must never be extended beyond the bounds of Holy Scripture, nor must it ever usurp the authority of the local New Testament Baptist Church. I'm afraid that many men, fueled by the lust for power, a desire for preeminence, and worldly ambition, often abuse their pastoral authority by dictating to the church rather than leading it in love. No pastor should be permitted to abuse his authority by leading the church according to his own personal opinions and preferences. That's not the responsibility of a pastor. Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth was, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. A church of the Lord Jesus Christ should only follow the pastor as long as he is faithfully following Jesus Christ and preaching the truth of Scripture. I know a lot of pastors, they would be scared to death to preach that, but I believe it with everything in my heart and in my ministry. You can only follow a man of God who is preaching the Word of God. When the pastor departs from the scriptural mandate of "Thus saith the Lord" and replaces it with his own desires, the church is not obligated to obey him. Not obligated to follow what he's preaching or teaching if he goes beyond the bounds of Scripture. Now, please understand, I'm not asking you to be a nitpicker, to sit in the pew from now on and say, "Man, if he misquotes this verse, we're going to get rid of him." I don't want you to be that way. But I want you to look at things overall with the ministry of the Word and the minister that God has appointed over this flock. Am I following the Lord? Am I preaching the truth as it is in Jesus? Am I giving you sound doctrine? If so, follow me as I follow the Lord. But if I'm not, you need to challenge me. You need to find somebody, if I won't do it, who will do it. That's your responsibility as a church. Now, many churches have been ruined by dictators who force their own personal agenda on the church under the guise of pastoral authority. They will say, "I've got authority from the Lord." Well, I'm telling you, beware of any preacher who presumes to say that he's the only one God has appointed to know the will of God within the church. You are heading down a disastrous road when a man says something like that. The church is a body. It's the body of Christ. And it is to function collectively under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and the administration of the Holy Spirit. When a pastor abuses his pastoral authority, he is, in effect, presuming to take the place of Christ. Now, that's the negative aspect of it. The extent of pastoral authority lies within the bounds of Scripture. It's very simple, very direct. We're commanded, 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. There's the extent right there. Preach the word. The pastor is not called to share his personal opinions, insights, or to entertain, but chiefly to preach God's word line upon line, precept upon precept, and to lead the flock of God in the ways of truth and godliness. That's my responsibility. And I have authority from the Word of God to do just that. In order for a pastor to fulfill this holy and this weighty responsibility, he has to obey the admonition of 1 Peter 4:11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now don't misunderstand. I realize there are times I give my opinion. I may chase a rabbit. I'm talking about overall the ministry of this church and this pastor, me, should always be aiming at preaching the Word of God so that you can benefit. And there are times when this is going to include me rebuking you, exhorting you, challenging you, saying something hopefully that will convict you. And think about it. There's all kinds of different people in our congregation, each at a different stage of spiritual growth. I can't possibly know the needs of everyone, but the Spirit of God does. And He can use the Word directed particularly to you, to your heart, to your application. I can't tell you how many times when I have felt like I've really preached a dud, and somebody's come out and said, man, I really needed that. That's exactly what I needed. I chalk it up to the grace and power of God. But that's what the Word of God will do. It will do. God will do His work through His Word by His Spirit. And the preacher should always, the pastor, the elder, whatever term you want to use, that should be the aim. It's not to develop a flowery, eloquent sermon that somebody could say, wow, that's a lot of education and intellect. I think you ought to do the best you can. Study and pray. But ultimately, the purpose of a pastoral ministry is to glorify God and help you, benefit you, cause you to want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the heart of a pastor's work. It never should be about him, about the praise of men, about receiving adulation. That's idolatry. And it has no place in the Lord's churches. Now, Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And then verse 15 says, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority." Thus, the pastor has been commissioned by God to exercise scriptural authority in the preaching of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, what is doctrine? It's teaching. Teaching truth from the Word of God. And it serves to edify and to strengthen a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every pastor should be committed to systematically feeding the church that he has the oversight of with a sincere milk and strong meat of doctrinal truths found in the Word of God. That's the responsibility of the pastor. Sound doctrine, sound teaching, truth from the Word of God. And I personally believe exposition. Now, one of my big flaws as a preacher is when I do an exposition of a book, it takes me a long time. I marvel at somebody who is able to go through, say, the book of Romans in a year. I mean, I'd be afraid I'd be still preaching it during the millennium. Because there's so much, and I tend to probably try to bring too much out or something, because it takes me a long time. But one thing you're always going to get. You're always going to get somewhere in the ministry of this church, at least once, maybe twice a week, if you come to all the services, there's going to be an exposition of Scripture. We're always going through a book, verse by verse, word by word, hopefully all the way through that book until we complete it. I believe that's important. I also believe it's important to do studies of particular doctrines, whether it be the doctrines of grace. That's something that I think should be systematically taught at least every 5 or 10 years, so that people understand what those doctrines are, what the sovereignty of God is in salvation, and each point broken down, so that because we've got people, we've got new members that come in, we've got members that go on to be with the Lord, we need to continually be taught these truths, because those are foundational truths in a church. The same is true with the doctrine of the local New Testament Baptist Church. Church perpetuity is a teaching that ought to be enforced and taught. Baptist baptism, the teaching about the Lord's Supper, its elements, its purpose, and how to observe it. The role of women in the church. All these things are things that must be taught. Because if preachers don't teach these doctrines, it won't take long before a church will get so weak that they won't stand for anything. I believe in teaching on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from A to Z, from the last days to the rapture, to the tribulation, to the second advent, to the millennium, to the eternal ages, teaching about the truth, what the Bible teaches, about the Antichrist, about the restoration of Israel. These are all important doctrines that are found throughout the Word of God. We ought to be knowledgeable in those things. A pastor should be committed to teaching those things. Holy living, practical application of Bible truth. This study that I did on character, that we did for over a year in Sunday school. I think it's important to understand
Christian virtues, such as humility and faith and depending upon God. All of those things that we went through. Why? Because it's not enough to believe the truth and say you believe the truth. You've got to practice it. You've got to live it out. And so the gospel ministry, the ministry of a teaching elder, a pastor, should be one that has a variety of truth being presented throughout the years of ministry. Now, there are a lot of churches where you know what you're going to get every Sunday morning. It's going to be a salvation message, an evangelistic message. And I think it's good to preach evangelistically. I do it nearly every service, every week in some way. But that's not the focus every time I preach on Sunday morning. I like to be in a series. I like to know exactly where I'm going. I like to get in like we're going through Titus on Sunday night. We went through the doctrines of grace in Sunday school. A long time I did the book of Proverbs. We're not done with that yet. I don't know if we're ever going to get done with it. But we've got like 25, 27 chapters done, I think. But again, sound doctrine. The pastor should be committed to systematically feeding the church that he has the oversight of with the sincere milk and the strong meat of doctrinal truth found in the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 13 says, "Till I come, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Now a pastor, an elder, who does not authoritatively preach doctrinal truth, expositional truth, will soon weaken the church that he pastors to the point where they will be undiscerning and susceptible to error. A pastor in a church that does not stand for doctrinal truth will soon fall for a myriad of errors. In order to guard against error and promote spiritual growth, Ephesians chapter 4 must be carefully heeded. It says in verses 14 and 15, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." The pastor is to herald the doctrines of the Word of God despite opposition, rejection, persecution, or threatenings. See, this is a twofold thing. I'm supposed to preach the truth, you're supposed to obey it. And if I know I'm preaching the truth and you're not obeying it, you're going to get mad at me. You are going to get, there's going to be a part of you that's saying, "I don't like that." And it may be because I'm hitting you. And the Spirit of God's hitting you right where you need it. But I'm going to deal with that in another sermon. Pastoral authority is not confined to proclaiming just the doctrinal truths of Scripture, but it also includes the responsibility to exhort with all authority. You know, there are some pastors, all they ever preach on is the doctrine of grace. I mean, 5 points, that's it. That's all they ever preach on, and they've got that down. And I love the doctrines of grace. But that's not all there is to the Word of God. There's a lot of truths that you and I need to understand and apply in the Word of God.
Now, the Greek word for exhort in this verse is parakaleo, which carries with it the idea of admonishing, entreating, beseeching, and diligently urging one to pursue a specific course of conduct. Now, this can be pretty tough on me and on you. You have to understand that I've got authority from the Word of God to challenge you. If you're not doing right, and you're not living right, I've got the authority from the Word of God to exhort you, to admonish you, to rebuke you with the truth. And it's your responsibility to obey the truth, to walk in the truth, to embrace the truth, even when it's so convicting to you. So the pastor has authority from the Word of God to call upon his hearers to obey the clear and practical commands of Scripture. The pastor should faithfully proclaim the believer's responsibility to live a godly and separated life, to be zealous of good works, to be faithful in all areas of stewardship, to be fervent witnesses to the lost, and to practice the principles of righteousness. And to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be an obedient child, these are all things that ought to be preached, ought to be enforced with all authority. I don't look at this as a job. I am called of God. I want the best for you. I want you to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And if I'm not faithful to tell you the truth and preach the truth, I'm going to have to give an account for that. And I'm doing a disservice to you. You'll see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, where Paul illustrated pastoral authority exercised by him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." A pastor who is not authoritatively preaching and commanding the members of the church to obey Christ and to practice righteousness will soon be pastoring a church that is morally weak. Not just doctrinally weak, but morally weak, with no spiritual power to carry out the Great Commission. All that God would give me grace and other pastors to authoritatively call upon the Lord's sheep to obey and follow Christ, regardless of the cost. Pastors must exhort with all authority, without fear or favor, if they're to faithfully discharge their pastoral responsibility. We're going to stop there tonight because if I don't, the next sermon will only be about 15 minutes long. So I want to divide it up. Let's all stand and sing.